How can God turn our weaknesses into strength? We're all weak in ways. You know, none of us are infallible. We're all frail and flawed. How is it that God can turn weaknesses into strength? How does, you know, when God gets ready to do great things, He uses the most ordinary people. He does extraordinary things working through very ordinary people. People like you and myself. And the book of Hebrews is chapter 11. There's all of these extraordinary things these people did, but they were really very ordinary people. And the thing that made them successful in what they did is they believed God. They trusted God, you know. And in so doing, they were able to do great things for God. Our faith really does limit us in what we're able to accomplish. Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But when we trust God, we can do great things for God. I wonder how many of us are just really living way below our potential. What we really could accomplish if we really trusted Christ. Now, Hebrews 11, I want to read a verse here, and then we're going to go to the Judges chapter 6. Hebrews 11, verses 32 through verse 34. The word of our Lord says, he's mentioned all of these heroes of our faith. And then he says, what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weakness were made strong. These weak, ordinary people became strong and waxed valiant in battle and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. These ordinary people did some incredible things by faith. God chose them to do it. Now, you notice highlighted there, these weak became strong, valiant in battle, and turned to flight of the armies of the aliens. That reminds us of Gideon. Let's look at his story. It's found in Judges chapter number 6. Because if there's anybody listed in this, among the Hall of Faith, we sometimes call it, those many Bible characters there, Gideon would certainly be known as a very ordinary person. And he was not, he acknowledged his weakness. He's a very timid man. He was frightened, afraid, insecure. I think I'll be able to point out for you in just a few moments. But later in the chapter, it said, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. And when that happened, the man did incredible things for God. And so that's the key. And so let's look at it just a moment. So verses 1 through 10, for time's sake, we're not going to read those, but Israel's in a mess. They have disobeyed God and they have allowed the idols of foreign countries. They've worshipped at those idols. You know, like I've told you before, polytheism had just always creeping into Israel, where there was many gods, and sometimes they compromised and they allowed these gods in their country, and sometimes even worshipped at their altars. It was a terrible thing. And God punished them for it. They always got in trouble with God when they did that. And so verses 1 through 10 tells you a little bit about the story. It says the Midianites came, and they were just, God allowed them to happen because Israel disobeyed God. And these were wicked, mean people. Israel, they devoured their crops. Israel's out there trying to raise food for their families. And when the Midianites, when they saw the crops, they'd come in and just harvest their crops and burn their fields. And the Bible said they were a very impoverished nation. And so what was happening is a lot of people were having to go in different places. It ran men, the leaders of their homes, they went into caves and hiding just to try to protect their family and survive and get enough food to be able to eat. And such was the case with Gideon. And so the angel of the Lord came, the Bible said, and sat down under the oak tree in Ophrah that belonged to Joash. Now, Joash was the father of Gideon. And this guy had really gone off the rails. He had allowed Baal to be a part of one of the gods in Israel and even worshiped there. His son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. So Gideon, realizing that if he tries to raise wheat and the Midianites are aware of it, they're going to come and harvest it for him and take it. And so he hides in a wine press to raise wheat. There's no place to raise wheat, but he's in survival mode. You know, you need the wheat is raised out in the open, and they, you know, the story where Jesus talks about they lift the, put it in the winnowing, you know, take the winnowing shovel, and they throw it up against the wind, and the heavy grain falls, and the chaff blows away, and so, but now he's just doing the best he can to get by. And he's afraid, and for good reason, of the Midianites. The angel of the Lord comes there, and he tells them, listen, this is all on you guys. You disobeyed God, and now you're under the judgment of God. So we want to pick up a reading as we look through this. And I want to give you four steps to Gideon's path to power. There are four things that took place in his life. Here's a man who's afraid. He's hiding, and he's afraid to show his face, and he's doing the best he can, but he's living a very fearful life. And but then God's going to use him, as you know the story. I don't have to tell you, but Gideon is going to be used by God to defeat the Midianites, who were very powerful people, and they had many, many soldiers. So God would take this man who was timid, who was insecure, and he would use this person to and transform his life in such a way where he would lead the nation of Israel and deliver them from the hands of the Midianites. How did God take this man from powerless to powerful? From fearful to fearless, to faithless, to a man full of faith. How did it happen? Well, it seems to me several things. Number one, God, first of all, when he spoke to Gideon, he gave him a word of affirmation. God, when God works in your life, he'll encourage your heart. Notice what he says. What God says to Gideon here in verse 12 is fascinating. The angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and he said what? The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And some translations say mighty man of valor. He's anything but a mighty man of valor at this point. He's hiding. He's afraid. But God looks at this man and he sees what he can be. He says, you know, Gideon, there's a warrior inside you. You know, you're not acting like a warrior now. But when I look at you, Gideon, I see a mighty warrior. I see what you can be. And that's encouraging. You know, Jesus, when he was here, he did this with Peter. You know, Peter is known for his vacillations, his impulse. Sometimes he's impetuous even. And Jesus looks at him one day and tells him he's a rock. And you would think of all the disciples there, you wouldn't think Peter would be classified as a rock because he's always, you know, he's back and forth. I heard one preacher say, and I really like this. He said, all of you preachers that are always criticizing Peter for the things that he said, that you think he shouldn't have said, he said, you ought to repent. He said, because if Peter hadn't spoke up and said some of those things, a lot of things we have in our Bible, we wouldn't know anything about. And that is, of course, true. But he said, Peter, you're a rock. Simon Peter, you're no longer Simon, you're Peter. You're not Saul anymore, you're Paul. You're not Jacob, you're Israel. God sees what we can be. And so he gives him a word of affirmation. He said, you are a mighty man of valor. Now, Gideon is a very honest man. And he's going to respond in verse 13 to the angel of the Lord. He doesn't understand, okay, Lord, if I'm a mighty man of valor and you're here or helping in Israel and all this, why are we in the mess we're in? He says, but sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the wonders that the Father told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hands of the Midians. The words I've highlighted, the if and why and where and but, those all speak to his insecurity, his confusion. He doesn't understand. Now, I don't know if he hadn't read the first 10 verses. They're there because they're under the judgment of God. And he's saying, look, if you love us so much, then why are we in the mess that we're in? And so he starts making excuses. He tells God all the reasons why he doesn't think he's the right man for the job. Notice in verse 15, he says, God, you've come to the wrong place if you think I can do anything. But Lord, Gideon asks, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family. Lord, you've come to Manasseh? You know, we're the poorest tribe in the whole lot. And then you've come to tell me that I can save Israel? When, have you seen this village? He's from Ophrah. And the word actually means a dust. And it's a dust bowl. There's nothing there. And so he says, Lord, I don't understand. You come to the wrong place. And then he said, you've got the wrong people. Not only, Lord, we're from Manasseh, but and it's the poorest of all the tribes, and we're the poorest family in Manasseh. Nobody's poorer than we are. And he said, personally, I'm the least in the family. You've come to the wrong place, and you've got the wrong people. And if you're talking about me, you've got the wrong person, Lord. But God says, Gideon, you don't know it yet, but you're a mighty man of valor. You know, I think a lot of Christians stay depressed because they don't really know what God says about them. Do you know that God says that you are the righteousness in Christ? You know, he said, he that knew no sin became sin for us, what? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God said that you are his sons. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. When you were born again, you've been placed into the body of Christ. You're a child of God. You know what that means? You can never be unloved. And if we are the righteous of God in Christ, we can never be lost. We're kings and priests. We're never alone. All of these things, that's what we are. Those are words of affirmation for the child of God. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? They can do all things through Christ, which strengthens them. Words of affirmation. That's what you are. You know, quit talking about what a worm you are and how horrible you are and all this kind of stuff. In God, in Christ Jesus, you are eternally secure. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You've been sealed until the day of redemption. And you are earnestly waiting for the redemption of your body. You know? I mean, there's so many things that God has promised to those that love Him. And so, but sometimes I think we forget it because we maybe look at ourselves and judge ourselves by other people. You're very gifted in Christ. The Holy Spirit lives in there and He's given you a spiritual gift to do something for His glory. Words of affirmation. And so Gideon's listening. He's protesting. He doesn't see it like God sees it, but He will in time. The second thing that God does to show him or to bring him to this place of power where the Lord can anoint him and is God's going to have to reveal to him what he obviously cannot understand. Verse 17, he says to God, okay, if I've now found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it's really you talking to me. Please don't go away until I come back and bring an offering and set it before you. And the Lord said, I'll wait for your return. And you know the story. He goes and he fixes up a nice meal, brings it back for the angel of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord takes a stick, reaches down, touches it, burns it up, and disappears. He says, God is in this place. And he's revealing to him that, look, I'm here, and I'm with you. And if I'm with you, you've already got the victory. Look at verse 22. When Gideon realizes that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Ah, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But God said unto him, "Peace. Don't be afraid. You're not going to die." So Gideon built an altar, and he called it the Lord is Peace, and it stands there to this day. You know what I've learned? You know, when God has directed my heart towards something, I don't like to move in that direction until I have peace. There's something about when God reveals or helps you understand what is His will in this matter or that, that's His way. He brings peace to the situation. Remember the book of James, he says the wisdom that comes from above is what? It is first peaceable. You know? The Bible said, let the peace of God rule your heart. Now, I've told you before, that word rule is arbiter. It's where we get our word umpire from. And I know you've heard me say this, but when the kid slides in home and he jumps up and he thinks he scored and the catcher says, no, you are out, the guy in the black uniform, he makes the call. He rules the situation. And I tell people all the time, when you're trying to discern God's will, but there's no direct verse as to say, this is, you know, should I take this job or should I take that job? Should I do this or do that? And there's not a verse that, you know, spells it out quite that bluntly. I say, let the peace of God rule. Pray about it. And God, when you start to go in that direction, if you're connected to God, He's going to give you peace. This is what I want you to do. And then sometimes God does not give peace. And oh, please don't ever go against that no peace zone. Don't ever step into the no peace zone. And so God reveals that, hey, this is God. And He says, hey, look, now first of all, calm down. Don't be afraid. Peace. And he built an altar, and that altar represented his personal commitment. That's what an altar is. You know, it's a place where you make sacrifices, and you worship, and you make commitments. So God gives, excuse me, a word of affirmation. Get in. You're more than you think you are, because you're my child. And then he says, Gideon, here's a revelation. I'm here. You're not alone. You know, this battle is not to be fought just by you. This is the Lord's doings. Well, Gideon's still struggling. You know, he's just built an altar, but he's still having a hard time. He says, excuse me. So he says to him, let me ask you this. Are you still going to face all your battles alone? If you need a revelation, you're in your weakness, God can give you strength. And I'll explain that in just a moment. I'm sorry, I got something in my throat. Excuse me. There's a third thing. Hey, I'm moving right along. I'm already on page 11. God's confrontation. So now God's going to test him. He says to Gideon, verse 25, the same night the Lord said to him, take the second bull from your father's herd, one of 7 years old, and tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down Asherah, which was another god. Excuse me. Baal was a fertility god. It was a sexual cult. Tear down your father's idol. You know, anytime you go against your family and friends, so sorry. When you go against your family and friends, because God has called you to do so, that's tough. Then build the proper kind of altar to the Lord your God. When I lay down at night, I can't sleep because I cough like this. But now I can't preach because I'm coughing like this. Well, y'all go ahead and sleep, and when I wake up, I'll be through. I'm really sorry. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God. Get rid of this mess. Get rid of all these idols and build the right kind of altar on top of the bluff using the wood of the Asherah that you cut down. Offer the second bull as an offering. So Gideon took 10 of his servants and he did as the Lord told him. When God gets ready to use you, he's going to test your commitment. How many times have you seen people come and they rededicate their lives, they call it? I've never been a fan of that terminology, but I understand what they mean. You know, they had wandered away and now they want to get their heart right, and so they make that acknowledgement. Well, you're going to get tested. God's going to see if you're really sincere. And the first thing he's going to ask you to do is get rid of your idols. See, if you really want to do something for God, he says, okay, first of all, you're not doing so much now because there's something in your life that is prohibiting that. The first thing you do, you get rid of those idols. All those places in your life where you've compromised, you got to set it right. You know? And even if it's involving things in your own family, you go tear your daddy's altars down. And if you don't think that's hard to do, have you ever had to stand against people in your own family or people you were really close friends with? And you said, no, that's not right. That's wrong. And so that tests our commitment. It tests your spirituality. The first commandment is what? Have no other gods before me. And so God, and somebody said that an idol is anything that you love more than you love God. That could be anything. It'll test you emotionally. Do you have the nerve to take that stand? In Gideon, that was one of his problems. He was afraid. As a matter of fact, even when he went forth to do all that God said do, the Bible said he did it at night because he was afraid of the Midianites. He still struggled with some fear. And most of us can understand that. It's an emotional. Sometimes we're called to do something and we've got to love God more than we love anything else. And It tests our nerve, tests our courage. Well, it even went a little deeper than that. Physically, I think it tested him. What do I mean by that? His life was on the line. When he went out at night, destroyed those idols, they came back the next day. They said, "Who has torn down all these idols? We're going to lynch him. We're going to kill him." They went to Gideon's dad, knocked on his door, protesting. And thank God the dad stood with his son and he repented himself. Look at verse 28. I'm going to wrap it up in a minute. I know y'all don't want to hear me cough. In the morning, when the men of the town got up, there was Baal's altar demolished and Asherah beside it cut down and the second bull sacrificed on the altar. They ask each other, "Who did this?" When they carefully investigated, they told Gideon, "Son of Joash did it." So the men of the town demanded Joash's dad, "Bring out your son. He must die because he has broken down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah beside it." You know, if this world keeps getting crazy, more crazy all the time, we may have to take a stand at some point in our life, and it may be life or death. Are you going to stand for Jesus in times where it's your life's on the line? So when God speaks, he confronts us. He wants to know how serious we are. Are we really going to get rid of the idols? Are we going to do what he says regardless of what people think? And then finally, Gideon's transformation. He did it. He did those things. Tore down those idols. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. And I'm going to stop here. But God took this ordinary, timid, insecure man and put an army of men around him. And they turned to flight, like Hebrew writer said. Those armies of aliens that were destroying their country. How does God turn weakness into strength? Well, I think he wants us to know who we are. He gives you a word of affirmation. You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. He reveals this simple truth to you. I'm going to go with you. He confronts you with, kill the idols that are robbing you. And then he, when we do his will, we become as he knew we could be, that mighty man of valor. God does use ordinary people to accomplish wonderful things. But only when we respond to the dictates of the Holy Spirit as he directs our hearts. Would you pray with me? I'd so wanted to talk to you a little bit about that war. Maybe we can do it another time. But it was fascinating the way God worked. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word. There's never a time in my life, Lord, when I haven't looked into it and somehow you've helped me, encouraged me, convicted me. Remind us, Lord, that each person here that knows you and they're saved, they're your child, they have far more potential than they could ever realize. When you are directing their life and they are abiding in you, like the branch abides in the vine, they're fruitful. And so, Lord, help us to remind us to do that. And, Lord, help us to be willing to kill the idols that may be distracting us from being all those wonderful things that you want us to be for your glory. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.